The next case is 04-1425, Board of Education of Columbus versus Thomas Zano, Bill Wilkins, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Barnett.
Good morning, Your Honors. If I may, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal time.
Watch your time there.
Well, this matter here is fairly focused on the application and the interpretation of one statute in the Ohio Revised Code, which is section 335415, which provides that property is exempt from tax if it's either acquired, owned, or used by a community college district. So it's exempt from real property tax. The Board of Tax Appeals considered this matter, and we believe that it erred in its decision in finding that Columbus State Community College did not either acquire, own, or use this property, and therefore was not exempt from taxation. The most important fact, I think, matter that's involved here is that from the very get-go, this transaction has been mischaracterized significantly by both the appellee and the Board of Tax Appeals as some sort of a business transaction whereby Columbus State Community College is looking to gain some particular advantage because they can run a golf course without having to pay a real property tax and have the money somehow go back to the prior owners of this property and the income from this in some beneficial way that gives them some advantage. That is completely looking at form over substance and mischaracterizing this transaction. What this transaction is simply a means by which Columbus State Community College was offered an opportunity from two donors to acquire a significant asset at a significantly reduced economic value. In essence, basically, Columbus State was afforded the opportunity to acquire a $3.5 million piece of property for $2.5 million. What this really was is the form of what would be basically known as a bargain sale of this property from the former owners, the Greens and the Grubes, to Columbus State Community College. And the form of the transaction has now tripped up in some respects by being mischaracterized the intent of the transaction and the actual substance of the transaction. The question here is,
well, what is the legal title that Columbus State
The legal
acquired?
Title of this property is in Columbus State Community College District Trustee. Trustee of a trust, two trusts actually, which are irrevocable trusts, under which Columbus State is the irrevocable trustee, Columbus State is the irrevocable ultimate beneficiary of the trust, and the intervening interests are of the transferors of the property.
It would be unfair to characterize their interest at this point as a remainderman?
That might be technically one term that you could apply to the ownership of this property, but they are in a present interest in ownership of this property as the irrevocable remainder beneficiary of this trust, and they are in standing in the and everything that impacts
that would be a remainderman then.
Well, it would be a remainderman in the technical sense. Yes, that's correct. Okay. The question, however, is the standard of the statute is, do they own this property, do they use this property, or have they acquired this property? And in our opinion, they have done all three of those things.
Don't we have to tinker with trust law a bit to get where you are in the standing issue? A trustee is a discrete legal status, is it not? Here, the university or the college is a unique or a discrete legal status, and they're different, are they not? I mean, it could be the club that, that as a remainderman, as Justice Piper says, there may be no property left by the time Columbus State is ready to receive any property.
Well, that's theoretically possible, only under a sort of a tortured set of circumstances. But if Columbus State has assured the situation where there's going to be a significant cash flow from Columbus State into the trust to be able to provide basically the payment. I mean, these people came to the college and said, we have a $3.5 million piece of property, you can have it for $2.5 million, and you'll have $1 million at the end of the day. And we could sell it to you right off the get-go. They could have sold this property directly to Columbus State, and they've taken back a mortgage to securitize their interest. That's nothing more than what's happened here, only instead of having a mortgage, they've secured their promise of Columbus State to pay them $2.5 million by via a trust situation.
I'm stuck on a term, securitize their interest. What does that mean?
Well, it means that
whose interest?
The original transferors of the property, the Greens and the Groobs, in essence, sold this property to Columbus State for $1 million less than its fair market value. In that sale, they're owed the net present value of approximately $2.5 million at the time of the sale on property that was valued in excess of $3.5 million. In order to preserve their interest of the debt that's owed to them, they could have taken a mortgage back. They could have said, here, you pay us over time, pay us $260,000 a year for the rest of our lives, and give us a mortgage to securitize our note, the note, from Columbus State to us. That's one way they could have done it. They could have also done it this way, which is said, put this in an irrevocable trust. It requires us to be paid X amount of dollars, and you are obligated to operate this property in our best interest and your best interest as a remainder beneficiary, but in our best interest to make sure that we get paid. It's no different than if they had sold the property and taken back an interest. The ultimate recipient of the property ultimately always is Columbus State. So whether this property, the Appleys have characterized using the income to somehow pay the Greens and the Groobs, that somehow then the real estate real property taxes aren't falling on Columbus State Community College, they're falling on the trust. Well, Columbus State Community College is the trust. They're going to pay $230,000 a year to these beneficiaries, $260,000 a year to these original donors, regardless. And at the end of the day, the property is going to come to Columbus State in legal title, will be in Columbus State.
Council, is this not a operating little golf course?
It is an operating golf course.
And revenue is generated?
Yes, Your Honor.
And out of that revenue, the donors, grantors to the trust are paid X amount of dollars per their agreement with Columbus State?
Correct.
And is this only the only golfers, or the only people that pay fees, are students at Columbus State?
No, it's open to the general public.
It's an open public golf course.
That's correct. But that...
All right. Thank you.
The tax application was filed by Columbus State itself?
Yes.
And the argument is that Columbus State, as trustee, should have filed it instead?
I don't think anyone's made that argument that I'm aware of.
Who do they argue should have filed instead of Columbus State?
Columbus State Community College, our opinion, is the person that should have filed because they are the owner, acquirer, or user
of
the property.
Who does the other side allege should have been the titled owner filing?
Well, I don't believe they've alleged that anyone else should be the titled owner. The other
trustee
side
is not a college. That's the problem, isn't it?
Pardon me?
The trustee is not a college, so they can't file for an exemption. Isn't that the issue?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's the functional equivalent of the owner of the property with interposing an interest to pay for the cost of the property. The statute provides.
Counsel, how would you distinguish the Performing Arts School of versus Wilkins?
Well, Your Honor, those cases are under a whole different statute. They're under Chapter 5709 of the Revised Code. We're under Chapter 3354 of the Revised Code. The standards for tax exemption are completely different. And under the concept that exemption statutes are strictly and straightforwardly construed, those cases are inapplicable. Every case cited by the appellee, no case is decided under 3354. There isn't a case in Ohio decided under the statute. Every case and every standard they've asked to be applied, whether this is primarily used for the benefit of the college or tangentially used or incidentally used to its purpose, all of those tests come under 5709, which is totally inapplicable to our statute here. So the case is really irrelevant.
What about the universal definition of owner for the purposes of the tax statutes?
Well, there are a multiple of definitions of owner. In fact, police have alleged, even in their own brief, at least at the Board of Tax Appeals, if I'm recalling correctly, and maybe in this brief, that if Columbus Community College doesn't have to be the only, a trust can still be the owner of a property, that the beneficiary of the trust can still be the owner of the property.
Well, isn't the Green and Grubb families the beneficiary of the property?
The Greens and the Grubbs are actually, they are entitled to an annuity payment from the trust, mm-hmm. which is in essence the purchase price of the property over their lifetimes.
Now, the statutes under which performing arts were decided talked about the owner paying.
And
this statute, 3354, says owned, used, or acquired. It expands it into three categories.
That's correct. That's why the cases are so different, because they're under totally different standards. If you examine, the Board of Tax Appeals went to great lengths to try to determine what acquired meant. They went to Webster's Dictionary to define it in their decision. Right inside Chapter 3354 in Section 121, there's a definition of acquired, and it's lease with a purchase to option, a lease with an option to purchase. Lease with a purchase combination or any other contractual arrangement similar to that. We have nothing different here. We have Columbus State leases this property. Columbus State is the irrevocable beneficiary of this property when the payment, the purchase price annuity is paid to the Greens and the Grubbs, and they're going to acquire this property. There's no lease. They can't walk away from it. They don't have to worry about the property owner not continuing to lease the property at the end of the lease. They're definitely, in our opinion, it's clear from the from Section 3354.121 that they've acquired this property. It doesn't require it to be the owner. We believe this is the functional equivalent of ownership, where the burden of the tax exemption falls squarely on Columbus State, because they're going to acquire this property ultimately without question. Could the property be used up? Certainly, but if they bought the property could be used up in repaying the mortgage. That's sort of an irrelevant point at the end of the day. Are they using the property pursuant to the statute? There's no refuting, even by the appellee, that Columbus State is using this property, and they're using it for purposes incidental to their mission. It's used for cross-country sports, it's used for golf, it's used for physical education classes, it's used for landscaping classes. They would like you to, Board of Tax Appeals and the appellees have read into this a standard that it has to be the primary use. Well, there's no such language in the statute. The primary use concept comes in under some of the cases under 5709, which is totally inapplicable here. There is no primary use in the statute, in our statute, in 3354. There's no such thing. The fact that the general public is allowed to play this golf course, which I would argue is not significantly different from the Ohio State University golf courses, which enjoy a rather significant tax exemption. They're every alumni in the world, their friends, charitable beneficiaries, or charitable outings.
But who is the title owner to the Scarlet and Gray?
Ohio State, or the state of Ohio.
Well, that would be different, wouldn't it? Well,
it is different, but nevertheless, it's similar in the fact that the property is used by a tremendous number of the general public. Okay. And for many other things. And in this case, under the acquire statute, the college, the community college, is entitled to acquire property and is entitled to use the proceeds from the property to pay for the cost of acquisition. The proceeds from the property, which is the result of the general public revenue that's is simply being used to help defray the cost of acquiring the property. The uses of the property are numerous and unrefuted that they're numerous. It's just a question.
I want to go back to your statement that they purchased the property. I didn't think that's what happened. I thought these people donated it.
They came to the college.
Subject to a lifetime.
They came to the college and said, we would like to give you $1 million. We have a property worth $3.5 million. You give us $2.5 million, you get the other million. And if you do it this way, if we can structure it this way.
The contract says that the college has to pay $2.5 million.
That's the net present value of the annuities that they're being paid, calculated as of the time of the purchase, which is basically in the expected.
But the contract
price.
Doesn't say we have to pay $2.5 million. If all these people were in a car wreck on 71 tomorrow morning, that's the end of the payment.
That's correct, which was what made this method of structuring the transaction somewhat attractive to Columbus State, and the fact that there was a possibility they'd pay less than that. What also made it attractive was the fact that if they had done it any other way, except using a charitable remainder trust, the tax consequences of the Greens and Grubbs would have been significantly different. And instead of offering them the property for $1 million less than the fair market value, it would have been something far less than $1 million less. So the Columbus State, by structuring it this way, was able to get a better deal, if you will, from the Greens and the Grubbs for acquiring this property. They've acquired it at a better rate because of the way this transaction is structured. And to have Columbus State acquiring the property, being the ultimate irrevocable owner of this property at the end of the day, after the quote-unquote purchase price is paid, or acquisition price, if you will, to have them have to pay real property taxes on property they're going to own, or are owning and are the functional equivalent of owning and acquiring and using.
I guess once they get the property, then they can take the exemption, can't they? Mm-hmm.
Certainly, but that could be 20 years from now.
Yeah,
and
in
the time being, it's no different. Had they bought the property outright for $2.5 million and owned the property as Columbus State Community College with a note and a mortgage, they would have been in exactly the same position they're in now without paying real property tax.
Except we have to work around trust law, basic fundamental trust law, to get where you want us to be. That's my problem. All the equity, and there's a lot of equity on your side, but tax law is not equitable, as you know. It's all statutory.
Yes, Your Honor, but exalting form over substance is something that the tax law abhors, and that's what's happening right here. And if you look at this, ownership, this focusing on the narrow concept of ownership, as Justice Stratton pointed out, is only one of a three-pronged test. If you get away from the ownership concept, which we believe can be distinguished, there are still two other methods by which Columbus State qualifies for tax exemption, the property, under 335415.
You need it. Your light's been on. Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Mr. Rich.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Jeffrey Rich. I'm here today on behalf of the Columbus Board of Education. As has been indicated, under Ohio law, this is a very clear, very easy case to decide, because tax exemption statutes are always strictly construed. Taxation is the rule, exemption is the exception. They're asking you to exempt a public golf course and a public bar from taxation that anyone can drive up to and use.
Counsel,
do
you believe that 3354 has a different standard than the cases we have just recently decided under performing arts, et cetera?
I believe that it speaks for itself, and it has a standard that requires that the party who is supposed to pay tax actually have an obligation to pay tax, which is missing here.
Well, the statute, let me ask the question again because you really didn't answer it. Are they two statutes different? And one requires ownership, and this one requires acquired, use, or owned.
They are different in the terms.
Okay,
that is correct.
Why doesn't this fit under acquired or used?
Oh, it's not even close on either one. First, they haven't acquired. Acquired means acquiring the fee simple interest in property.
Where does it say acquire fee simple?
Well, they have no right to use the property.
If you say acquired means acquired fee simple interest, how is that different from owned?
Well, they don't own it either.
Why do you need the word owned if acquired means the same thing as owned?
It may well have been bad drafting, because they don't need to say anything in the contrary, because they don't either own it, they haven't acquired it, they have no obligation to pay tax. The legal owner of this property, the question was asked, are two trusts.
So you're equating acquired and used with the legal simple interest ownership standard?
No, I'm equating with the facts of this case. The facts of this case are two trusts, private trusts, where the obligations to pay all of the income go only to private individuals. Not a nickel until the whole families are dead can go to Columbus State. Moreover, Columbus State has no obligation, none whatsoever, to pay any of the expenses Not a nickel of the expenses. In fact, under Ohio law, they would be prohibited from paying the expenses of a private trust for the benefit of private individuals. So I'm saying under these facts, yes, the statute is different. But if you look at the facts of each of those issues, used, acquired, and owned, that none of them, under the facts of this case, are at all applicable.
So your argument is that the trust runs the properties, controls the properties, collects the fees, distributes the income, and the college has nothing to do with any of that.
College has nothing to do with it. In fact, the trust says it could be the Huntington National Bank as successor trustee if the college decides not to be in the trustee business.
Is the college using the property in any capacity?
According to only one thing. In their application, they mention that they have classes and they use it occasionally. But there was no hearing.
I thought the students were using it for landscaping purposes and some classes and cross-country.
All you have, Your Honor, is the application. They waived hearing. They never presented any evidence at the Board of Tax Appeals. That's why the Board of Tax Appeals said there's an unquantified level of use.
If it could be established that the college was using it either for landscaping classes or cross-country or recreational purposes, would that fit under the ambit of 3354, indicating that the college would not be required to pay taxes upon property used by the college in accordance with that section?
Your Honor, only if it was proven to be the primary use or the major use of the property. If it was just a tangential use, that would not be the case.
Is the word primary use incorporated in the statute?
It's not in the statute, but it's in all your interpretations of similar statutes on exemption, because exemption is the rule. Exemption is the exception, and taxation is the rule. So you have always strictly construed those. And the first issue, though, and that's as I see it, that resolves the case. The statute, 3354.15, says that a community college shall not be required to pay any taxes on property it owns or uses or acquires. They're not required to pay any taxes. Columbus State University is not required to pay a nickel of taxes. In fact, under the trust agreements, they're prohibited from doing so. The trust pays all the taxes. Therefore, there's really four issues. First, it only applies to community colleges that are required to pay tax. And then, if they are required to pay tax, did they acquire it, did they use it, or did they own the property? Here, they're not even required to pay the tax. They don't pass first base. Who pays the tax? The trust. Is there any possible way that the trustee could pay the tax, whether it's the Huntington National Bank or Columbus State Community College? Absolutely not. And as Justice Pfeiffer indicated, they're really just a remainderman. That's all they are. And maybe in 25 years, they can have an application like the Ohio State University Golf Course, because it's owned by the state of Ohio, and that would be an appropriate time to come and ask the tax commissioner to give them a tax exemption. But not when they have no obligation to pay a tax and no ownership rights in the property.
Who is Bridgeview Golf?
That is a very good question, Your Honor. It is a for-profit corporation that was established, has in a contract with the trustee a lease, and they are the ones who actually are obligated under the lease to pay the tax. They're paying the tax.
Right. Who are they?
They're a corporation that was formed, a for-profit corporation, to operate the golf course.
But they presumably have a shareholder.
The shareholder, I believe, is Columbus State University, that they formed it as trustee.
All right.
And again, that trustee could change, and it could be Huntington National Bank.
So they are Columbus State.
No, they are the trustee. It doesn't matter who it's the trustee that owns the stock, not Columbus State. The trust owns the stock. The two trusts own all the stock. The trustee acting on their behalf, such as me taking a house for a friend of mine as Jeffrey A. Rich trustee, because they don't want their name in the paper because they're buying a big house. I don't own that house. I have no rights to that house. They just put my name in the paper so they wouldn't be embarrassed because they paid so much money for a house. Same thing here. Trustee has no, they have an equitable right in it. They have no legal claim to the house, none whatsoever.
But the reality is through through a corporation, through a trust, in the end, ultimately, doesn't Columbus State use this golf course? Because they are in
They favor. Don't. The trustee uses it, whoever that is, Huntington National Bank or Columbus State. It doesn't matter. The only owner of this property are two trusts. They are the legal owners of the property. Columbus State is the current trustee. Trustees, just like when Jeff Rich takes a name as trustee for a friend who buys a home, I have no rights to that home, no rights to operate it or use it at all. This is what we're talking about. As the Chief Justice mentioned, this is an interesting issue because it has to do with tinkering with trust law. If you have a fiduciary responsibility as a trustee, and the trust requires you to put all the income from this property back into the trust, not a nickel in your pocket, if it requires that the trust pay all the expenses, and if it doesn't have enough money to pay the expenses, it requires you to use the principal of the trust to liquidate part of the principal. The trustee has no obligation and cannot be allowed to pay any of the obligations of the trust. So the real issue here is that they have totally mixed up the concept of who's a trustee and what their responsibilities are, and Columbus State. Columbus State has no fight in this particular issue. They are merely a trustee who happens to be there now. They're a remainder man, 25 years, whenever it happens, and all the families are deceased, then they'll have an interest in it.
How does Columbus State own and acquire property pursuant to the statute? I'm looking at 3354.13, and it says that property shall be acquired or vested in the Board of Trustees.
Yes.
So does that make any difference here? Was that why the title was taken as trustee to this property?
No, no,
because of the other statute that has nothing to do with it?
No, nothing to do with it at all. It was taken this way because the property is legally vested in two trusts. Trusts have to have a trustee, somebody to operate them. Columbus State was appointed the trustee. The alternative in Section 6 of the trust, the alternative trustee would be the Huntington National Bank.
So before, I mean, if this were a situation where an exemption were proper in your view, the titled owner would be whom?
The Board of Trustees of Columbus State University, or
right,
Columbus State Company.
Fee simple.
You're right.
All right.
That's correct. And again, the fee simple is a perfect example. When you own property, here the two trusts said you can't self-deal. You're not allowed to self-deal. Obviously, fiduciaries can't. If you own the property in fee simple, you can do all the self-dealing you want because it's your property. That's why you bought it, to profit from it. They can't take a nickel out, and they have no obligations to pay, just as I wouldn't if I took property as a trustee. The interesting thing, as I indicated, was that this property not only has a golf course on it that's used by the public, but a bar that's used by the public. I mean, these types of things, when they're owned by two separate private trusts, certainly do not come under the purview of a public exemption for a public university. Tax commissioner erred. You'll note that they're not here today. They didn't file any briefs. I think they realized, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and I don't remember the last time, they didn't come to defend their decision. They're not here because I think they realized they made a mistake. The Board of Tax Appeals saw quite clearly that, in fact, this was a mistake. And as they held in their case,
Mr. Rich, aren't you representing a little more than it's fair to represent?
Well,
the reason that someone didn't file a brief?
Well, I said was I've been here for many years, and usually when the tax commissioner makes a decision, they're here to fight on behalf of the tax commissioner, and it's very noticeable to me that they are not.
Well, we've had occasions in big cases where no brief got filed because somebody didn't get to the clerk's office in time.
Well, I understand that. I certainly have read about those cases. Thank goodness I have not participated in those on either side. The Board of Tax Appeals said in relationship to the issue of the acquired, they said, we find that whatever possession or control Columbus State exercises over the subject property, it is limited to its fiduciary responsibilities on behalf of the family trust, not as one owns. Therefore, Columbus State has not acquired the property for purposes of the exemption in RC 3354.15. Therefore, we would suggest to you, Your Honors, that under 3354.15, it only exempts property which is held by Columbus State University and used for its own benefit and not for the benefit of private individuals. Again, clear, simple law. Tax exemption is the exception. Taxation is the rule. We strictly construe these statutes. There is no way that they have any obligation to pay tax, thus 3354.15 doesn't apply in the first place. But even if they would, then you have to look at the other three issues. It's quite clearly they never acquired the property because they have no title to it. They never used the property because it's an unqualified amount of use, and the case law from your court has consistently said, because we strictly construe these statutes, you've got to at least primarily use the property for public purposes. No issue whatsoever in that because there is no record. And number three, you have to own the property. They don't own anything but an equitable right as trustee. So we would ask, therefore, that the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals be affirmed because it was not unreasonable, it was not unlawful. A trustee under a private trust holding property for the benefit of private individuals is not entitled to an exemption under Ohio law for its bar and its golf course. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rich. Mr. Barnett, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Mr. Barnett, let me ask you whether or not that record demonstrates use of the property by the college.
Yes, it does, Your Honor.
Where?
In the application that was filed, in the actual decision itself, the Board of Tax Appeals found that there was use, it just was unquantified.
Thank you.
Your Honor, if it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. They're looking at a duck and calling it a zebra. Columbus State, Mr. Rich's argument that it's just like me owning a trust for a client, he's not the irrevocable beneficiary of that house. He didn't pay $2.5 million for $3.5 million obligate the trust to pay $2.5 million. It's totally irrelevant to that. The fiduciary duties that are owed as a trustee are no different than the fiduciary duties owned under the mortgage covenants if I bought the property and gave a mortgage back. We're not required to own this property. They're harping on that. They say you didn't acquire the property because you don't own it. The statute itself, 1334.121, defines acquire as obtained by lease, purchase, and other similar conditions. It doesn't have anything to do with ownership, and you're allowed to use it. They're clearly using it. It's in the record. It's in the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals. He says it's not the primary use. I defy you to find primary in the definition of the statute anywhere or in any case citing the statute.
But we've been consistent on saying and analyzing a lot of the cases we have in tax cases, a lot of the opinions we have, go to whether or not the use was primary and how much of the use was for the benefit of the educational institution, charitable institution, how much it was incidental. We've been consistent on that, haven't we?
But they're trying to turn this on its head and say that the fact that it's open to the general public means that it's for the private benefit of Mr. Green and Mr.
Your
Groot.
Application,
it isn't for
again,
their benefit.
Technicalities, but if all you filed was an application saying it's used by the college, that doesn't tell us how much. It doesn't tell us whether you've met the standard.
There are no standards for this particular statute, Your Honor.
So there aren't for the other statutes. Most statutes don't say primary use. We've said that.
But you haven't said it under this set of circumstances where the statute provides acquire, use, or own, which is different than the standards of all the other statutes, which require it to be primarily and exclusively used for charitable purposes. That does not appear in this statute. They have clearly acquired it under the very definition in its own chapter of the revised code.
You've used your time, Mr. Barnett.
Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.